The Bible said, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law, how readest thou? And he answered, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, do thou likewise. Father, I pray now, Heavenly Father, tonight that you'd help us for a little while. We appreciate you. Lord, we love you. You've been awful good to us. And Father, we just want to stop and say thank you, Lord, for your kindness. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd take the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts tonight. And our Father, I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, magnify your name. God, we'll glorify you. Lord, we'll praise you, our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look at verse number 34. The Lord lets us live till Memorial Day weekend. I'll be at then, been a member of the Shady Acres Baptist Church for 40 years. And I got the reading over here the other day, and I looked at that, and he said he brought him to an inn. And as I got to thinking about this, there's never a mention, Brother Fox, where the guy ever left the inn. And so with that in mind, I'd like to preach for a few minutes on this thought. I'm glad I'm still in the inn. And we find here that this guy went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And any time you go down, you're going to get in trouble. Amen. Amen. We find that, I'm going to tell you something tonight, the world has no mercy. They say they'll love you till you cross them. Amen. And they say they'll help you till it don't benefit them. They'll use you to get out of you what they can get out of you. And when they got out of you what they want out of you, amen, you're done. Don't ask me to say that again because I probably could. But I appreciate the Lord that He gave us an end. And I appreciate the Lord giving us a church. Amen. I'm not a preacher just to go preach. No, I got a purpose. When I get people saved, I'm trying to get them in a church. Amen. I'm pointing people to the church. Can I tell you tonight, the church may not save your soul, but it will save your life. Amen. Amen. I mean, you come in here and get preached to, and God will help you. Old David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. Amen. He said in another passage, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the, amen, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, I'm saying, he said, this I've longed for, and he said, this I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, when you get saved, there ought to be just something down in you that makes you want to go to the church house. Amen. I told somebody the other day, I said, it seems kind of funny nowadays. 45, 50 years ago when people got saved, it wasn't that hard to get them to come to church. Now, praise God, you got to tie a D9 Caterpillar to them, amen, and yank them down there to get them in. Amen. But there's something about when a man or a woman gets saved by the grace of God, if they'll just put their life in a church, just get in there and just sit and sit under the preaching and come to Sunday school and come to Sunday morning and come Wednesday night and any time, any other special service. There's something about how God will bless them. You know, I've been a member of the Shady Acre Baptist Church 40 years, and the people that I always see that get needs of counseling is people that don't come Sunday morning. Sometimes they'll miss. They won't come Sunday night. They'll miss. Sometimes they won't come. They'll come Sunday morning, Sunday night, but they won't come Wednesday night. Now, I understand if you got to work or something like that, but I'm talking, you understand what I'm saying tonight? They're just sometimes where you're just going to sit at home and you're not going to come because you don't feel like it. Then that's the ones that always seem to need. But you know, the ones that I've seen that ain't never needed much counsel, they've just made their mind up, you know what, I'm going to be there, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours, I'll go down there, I need it Sunday morning, I need it Sunday night, and it's what God said to do, because He did say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a man of some is, as the day approaches. He does tell you not to do that. Amen. Amen. Boy, I thought about, amen, and I've just watched people that just made their mind up and said, you know what, I'm going to go to church. Ain't been a lot of times I didn't feel like going, but I went anyhow. Amen. I talked about a little bit when I got sick. I remember they got me out of the hospital on Friday, and man, I was so fog-headed, I didn't hardly know where I was at. And on Saturday, my preacher come by, they'd fill me full of all that old medicine. We sitting there talking. Yeah, and I said, hey, you reckon I could come to church in the morning? He said, well, why couldn't you? I said, well, I'm kind of fog-headed here, you know, and everything. He said, I'll tell you what to do. We'll take precaution. Just wear one of them masks, amen, where you won't catch no germs. But I come in there, and he said, just come for Sunday morning service. Don't try to push it too long. We don't want you relapsing, going back. Do you know where I was at that Sunday morning? I was sitting right in the house of the Lord. And it ain't because I'm a preacher. Amen. It's because I'm a Christian. It's what you're supposed to do. Amen. You ought to want to come to church. Amen. 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 And if you don't want to come to church, you probably need to get an altar somewhere and ask God to help you fall in love with the church one more time. Amen. Well, I just thought about I'll give you a few things. I'm not trying to put a damper on nothing. I'm just trying to help you. Amen. But I just want you to know something. Amen. Listen, I mean, he said, I've looked at that thought. And you know, there's been times people say, well, I wouldn't stay there and I wouldn't do this. I know here a while back, and I was reading here. You just think about it. I mean, the Lord's been good to our family, and I've been in that church going on 40 years. And here a while back, the old enemy got to whispering in my ear and said, well, nobody even cares much what you got to say or how you got to live. And I got, and I got sitting there listening to all that stuff. And boy, it seemed like an old black cloud, and the old devil tried to just browbeat me a little bit about, and I had preachers say, well, your type of preaching ain't working no more. And then all of a sudden I said, well, maybe, probably telling the truth, amen. I'm getting old and senile about it, amen. But you know what? I got to reading here, and that verse jumped out at me, and it said, he took him to an end. And I said, and I got to looking, and I said, he never left. And I got down on my knees and said, God, I don't want to never leave. You've been too good to me. I mean, that old preacher told me years ago when I got right with God and I got my heart right and got on fire for God, he said, if you'll just stay in the church, I didn't have no kids, amen. I wasn't married. Or you listen to what I'm saying? He said, if you'll just fall in love with God, there ain't no telling what God could do for you and the family he gives you, amen. And 40 years later, I look at it and I say, man, I'm glad I sure listened to that old preacher. I'm glad I'm still in the end tonight. Amen. I don't have no regrets. I'm glad I'm still in the church. I'm an evangelist to the church. I love the church. Everything I got tonight, I got it because of church. Amen. I think about, I'll give you a few thoughts and then we'll go to the house. I'll say number one, I'm glad I'm still in the end. And I'm in the end because that's where the Lord put me. Amen. You ever get saved? Your heart ought to be on fire to be in the end. I like what it said in Acts 2, verse 46, 47. It said, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart and praising God. And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Man, I'm glad that, amen, the book of Acts, I believe around chapter 20, he said he shed his blood for the church. Listen, he gave his life for the church. He purchased it with his own blood. If he's willing to give his life for it, you think we could do, amen, at least love it enough to come to it? Yeah. Amen. And I tell you, I appreciate the church. Psalm 42:4 said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude, with them to the house of God, with a voice of praise. Man, I'm telling you, we all just want to go down to the church house, just come here, and I tell you, there's benefits for you coming to the church. If I don't do nothing else but just testify to you a little bit tonight, and just, hey, listen, I'm just trying to tell you, the church will, God will help you. It will structure your life. If you want to live for God, if you're going to be a Christian, that your light's going to shine and somebody's going to see the Lord in you, hey, this church will keep that fire burning. Amen. Amen. I thought about, hey, listen, I'm glad I'm still in the inn. That's where he put me. But to be honest with you, I ain't never found another place like it. I mean, it says, give me you wounded. I mean, look, this old boy, I mean, he went down and he fell among thieves and they stripped him. I mean, they took his raiment, they wounded him, and they departed, leaving him. They didn't care. This world does not care.
They don't care how you hurt. They don't care how your heart breaks.
Thought about it. That one lady there that got killed Friday, Grandmother 8, was a member of the Anchor Independent Baptist Church out far Texas. I guarantee you them people gathered around that family. You listening to me tonight? Man, I'm telling you tonight, I want you to understand something. Hey, listen, I have never found another place. I mean, a church is a place of help. I ain't talking about where a moocher can come by and just mooch and amen. Joker, so sorry he wouldn't work, amen, sampling pies at a pie factory and want the church to pay his rent, amen. And just come. I ain't talking about that. But it's a place of help. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, amen, it's a place of healing. I mean, this old boy was wounded. He was in trouble. What did that good Samaritan do? He brought him to the inn. Amen. He poured that oil in. He put him in a bed and he said, you just rest. That Bible said in that story, said he took care of him. That Samaritan had him on his mind. He knew if he'd get him in that inn, everything would be all right. And I'm telling you tonight, we know tonight, if we can get you in this inn and get you locked in, you'll be all right. You can finish your course right.
Amen.
I mean, I ain't never found another place like it. It's a place of help. It's a place of healing. Man, it's a place to bury your past. You listen to me. Man, we come in here, I remember coming in there so long ago and I had such a crazy past and everything. But I mean, you can just come in there. They don't care about the church, don't care what kind of past you got. There's some organizations you can't be a member of if you got some kind of checkered or marred past. But I'm telling you, the church don't care about that. It'll take anybody, everybody. It don't matter who you are, where you are, what your creed is. Am I making any sense? Amen. The church will work in any country in the world. Well, I was just over in Germany back in February over there preaching, and I was over there and I was moderating this meeting over there and we had missionaries in from Hungary, we had missionaries in from the Czech Republic, had missionaries come from Spain, we had missionaries from Germany, and boy, we was all over there, and I'm telling you, and man, they brought some of them people that got saved, and I thought about it. There was a little old girl there and her husband, and they got married last year, and I thought, man, what a blessing. And I got to witness something. There the little East German girl was, and just nobody would have never knew who she was. But I'm going to tell you what, some missionary come by and presented the gospel, and she got saved. And when she got saved, I mean, she got her mama saved, and been working on her dad now for years trying to get him saved. Amen. But boy, I'm going to tell you what, that little girl got married last year, and I thought, man, you talking about a storybook wedding? I mean, married in this big old castle, and we was already in that castle holding that meeting, and they told them, said, well, you can just use that right there. And they said, y'all do it. Man, we done that thing. I'm telling you, that was the most glorious thing. And I thought, who would have ever thought? But there a little East German girl was, and there we are. And I mean, God brought us all together in the end, in the church. And I mean, God, now she, you know what she is? That little East German girl married a boy, and they're missionaries to the Czech Republic tonight. And I just think about it. I said, boy, God, I thank you that I was in the end where I could see that. Place of healing, it's a place of hope. Glad I'm still in the inn because it's a place that brings happiness. Boy, I thought about it. I'm amazed. I'm glad I'm still in the inn because of people I keep seeing come into it. I mean, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the crazier people is, the more messed up people is. And I mean, they come in here and man, I mean, we watch God save them and transform them and change their lives. And there's people right out here in Portales, New Mexico. They got all kind of troubles. And I mean, this door ought to be open. Said, come in here. We got the message that can change your life if you'll just trust God. Thought about, y'all won't hold this against me, about 2 months ago, I was watching National Geographic, and I was watching these Cape Buffalo. Man, I'm going to tell you what, them things are big. But all of a sudden, I seen one wander off by itself, and I looked, and there was 7 lions. I said, uh-oh. This sucker's fixing to be dinner. Amen. And that thing wandered off, and boy, I'm going to tell you about that time. Boy, that one lion jumped on its back, and that other one jumped up and grabbed it in the mouth and put its mouth over trying to smother it to death, and the other one had jumped underneath it and went to trying to rip and tear its intestines out and had another one get up on top of the neck. And boy, you could hear that little buffalo making some noise. And about that time, boy, you heard the thunder and the crashing and everything. I said, what in the world is all that racket? And all of a sudden, there come about 100 head of buffalo. And all of a sudden, you seen lions flying through there to kill one of them. Amen. To kill that. And I mean, wounded 2 or 3 other. And I mean, I thought, son, I said, I ain't never seen nothing like this. Boy, I was cheering for them buffalo. Amen. You listen to me. I said, thank God Almighty. That ain't going to be hamburger tonight. Amen. But boy, I'm going to tell you, you know what them other lions, after they took that licking, they said, you know, I believe we'll go down to the Gazelle Inn and try something down there. Amen. Because them buffalo more than we want.
Amen. Yeah.
But you know, I thought about being in the church. That's why it's so important. You got storms and you got trials in lives. And sometimes somebody will stray. Sometimes somebody will fall out by the way. Sometimes somebody will get their vision blurred. And amen. And they'll get out there and they begin to straggle a little bit. And I'm telling you, we got them old lions out there. And they are trying to devour and trying to destroy. But I'll tell you what I appreciate about the church being around the end. Amen. There'll be some of them old saints that'll step up. And boy, all of a sudden, like that one old lion, that old buffalo just hit that thing and put a horn through it and just slung it about 25, looked like he slung it 25 yards up against the tree. And that old thing, amen, that's the way, you know, God's people will do that, amen. Oh, when somebody religion comes by and tries to hurt somebody, we ought to want to gather around them. Amen, they're ours. That's why you want to be in the end and find protection there. Not making any sense tonight.
Yeah.
I remember when I was sick and my wife was sick. I got a brother that's been in the music business now for, man, close to 50 years. Wrote songs and I mean, he's been around that stuff. But my brother was unsaved and he come up there and my oldest brother, he had been in and out of church and everything and not really been faithful. And I'm up there and I don't even know I'm in the world. And they tell him that I'm going to leave here and I'm going to die. But all of a sudden, you know what? It impressed them doctors and it impressed my brothers was there. And all of a sudden, them church people come gathered around my family. And all of a sudden, they come in there and them women come got around my wife and begin to hold her hands up in prayer. Amen. And all them other people coming, them men come got around my kids and my girls. Their heart was broke. They thought they was fixing to lose their dad. And my boys, they was tore. But I'm going to tell you, people just gathered around. And you know what they was doing? They was keeping them lines off of me. And they was praying. And they was praying for me. Amen. There's people come in there and put their hands on me. I didn't even know. And was praying for me. And boy, I'm telling you, hey, I'm glad they was there. My brother that's not saved in the music business, it tore his heart out. He said, I ain't never seen anything like that in my life. He still talks about it. It's been 5 years. God ain't saved him yet, but he after him. It ain't the Lord's fault he ain't got saved. And they had a little country entertainer. She was just fixing to hit it big. And they said that probably it was two or three. She'd made a CD and they were really going to push it. And they said it was probably two or three number ones on that CD. They found cancer. And her manager and my brother was real good friends. And he said, you need to get my little brother's church up there. Said they'll come up there and pray and they'll read the Bible. They'll do whatever. Oh, we don't need no church. It ain't got to that point yet. He said, you better get them up there. And so anyhow, about a day or two later, that manager called when they found out how bad it was and said, we do need them up here. Boy, I got on the phone and I wasn't in, but I said, I'll be home in a couple of days, but I'll get some people up there. And I made a phone call. There were about 25 people. They had to sneak them through this back way because her being in the entertainment business, they couldn't just open the door. Amen. So they get up there, and I got men in there. They're reading the Bible, and they're, amen, them women's are praying. One guy walked in there, and he said, he told her mom and dad, said, I know it's pretty expensive for y'all to stay here. And said, he said, I'll be honest with you. He said, I got my place right out here. And he said, there's nobody there. I've got to leave tomorrow or next day going overseas. He works for the oil business. And he said, I'll be gone for a couple of weeks. Said, just go in there. Said, there's plenty of food in the ice box. Said, you don't have to worry about anything. Said, the Lord's been good to me. And I mean, them people just could not believe it. That manager said, I've never seen anything like that in my life. But I'm glad I'm still in the inn. Oh, would to God, listen, God's people, amen, by this, shall men know that you're my disciples if you love one another. But not only if we love one another, but if we love everybody else. I'm glad I'm still in the inn. It was the inn that brought me the message. It was the inn that reached out to me when nobody else would and said, come in, we got room for you here. Amen. It was a place I could bury my past. I tell you, it's a place, praise God, I'm glad I'm still in the inn because I can see fruit grow there that'll grow nowhere else. Amen. It's a place that'll get you set for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know what he's coming back for? When he comes, he's coming back for his church. That's the people that's in the inn. Think about, boy, the people that he keeps bringing to it. I thought about that innkeeper. And think about what the Lord said, that Samaritan said to him, said, verse 35, said, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I'm going to tell you something. God's been good to this church. And Brother Fox here, God's been good to him, been good to you. You listening to me? You got somebody here that loves you. Amen. You got somebody here that loves you. Well, I'm telling you, you ought to thank God. You got somebody here that loves you. You got somebody here that loves your family. You got somebody here that loves your children. You got somebody here that cares for you. Amen. You come in here and some of you have been wounded. Amen. You listening to what I'm saying to you now? Brother Fox, I know a lot of times you preach and it don't seem maybe like, amen, sometimes it may feel like it's just falling on deaf ears. Amen. I always wanted to be one, boy. I always tried to encourage my preacher. If it's tight, I knew it's tight. I said, boy, that's a good message. I remember one time I was with him, and it was one of the last messages he ever preached. That old preacher got up and preached on the Word of God, and I couldn't believe him. Other preachers just sat there like knots on the log. They, you know, he had a personality that some of them didn't like, and they just sat there. And I walked up there that night, and boy, he come walking down out of that pulpit, and I didn't care if the president had been there. I got up and walked up there, and I put my arm around that old preacher, and I said, nobody else might not like it, but I said, you got a preacher, boy, and you got two or three others in this crowd tonight. We sure glad you did what you did. We proud of you. You know what, do you ever good, every now and then it do you all right to just go by and say, we sure love you, preacher. I mean, the Lord told him, said, take care of him. Said, here's some money. And he said, if I owe you anything else, he said, when I return, I will repay thee. Glad I'm still in the inn tonight. Well,